Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. Today we're switching things up and heading out of the studio to discover a couple of performances that take us off the beaten track on either side of the Atlantic. One of which takes place in a backyard in Pennsylvania and another that gets you, well, rather lost here in London. We'll begin the show in the US, where in Pittsburgh, the effort to keep up the theatrical spirit of celebrated playwright August Wilson has had a rocky start, but now hopes to pick up with a brand new production. Wilson, who passed away back in 2005, is known for his Pittsburgh Cycle, or Century Cycle as some call it, which is a series of 10 plays set in his neighbourhood, the Hill District, a predominantly African-American area of Pittsburgh. Most famous from this set of productions are the Pulitzer Prize winners Fences and The Piano Lesson, as well as Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. He based most of his plays in the place he came from, pulling on memories of the people and places that raised him. One of the plays in his cycle is set in his childhood backyard. That play is Seven Guitars, and this August it will be performed there for the first time. Erica Berris brings us this story.
It's taking a lot to get this space ready for the show. Crews of workers hammer, drill, and quickly move around a large backyard.
What you're looking at right now is a scaffold on the front east wall, where the building is actually structurally sound, but the bricks need to be repointed.
That's Paul Ellis.
I'm related to August Wilson. I'm his nephew.
Ellis runs a nonprofit that owns this, the house where August Wilson was born and spent his early years in the late 40s and 50s. Later, urban renewal led the house and much of the surrounding neighborhood to fall into disrepair and become blighted. Now, the community is in better shape. But the house, which is a landmark, was boarded up and unstable for decades. Until now.
It is very exciting to have this construction progress ongoing after having the house languish in its dilapidated state for so long.
Although it's only been 11 years since the playwright died, the ways in which Pittsburgh has tried to preserve his legacy have been tumultuous. An art center named after him was built, but money problems and mismanagement led to it closing. Foundation money was pooled together, and it has since reopened. This house had fallen into disrepair despite its historic designation and drawing fans from all over the world. It's only now that the house and yard are being restored thanks to gifts and grants. Preparing the space has involved all kinds of work and permitting, and getting the space blessed by Frank Hightower, a Yoruba priest.
We pay homage to the sun, to the moon, to the world, and we pay homage to this house in which August Wilson was born.
Tonight he has the cast and crew gathered in a circle asking for the blessings of their ancestors. Paul Ellis, the nephew, goes first.
Ibae, we pay homage and respect.
This space is special, says director Mark Clayton Southers, who runs Pittsburgh Playwrights, the company putting on this show.
It's sacred ground. It's sacred ground. It's a mecca for the theater folks to come to.
Seven Guitars takes place in the late 1940s and features seven characters before and after a funeral. The action all occurs in the backyard.
Well, you know, if you know his work and if you walk back there, first thing you're going to think of, this is the set for Seven Guitars. You know, it's exactly like it's described in a play.
And getting to perform it here is a unique experience, says actor Wally Jamal.
So I guess as a child, you know, the image of that backyard stood out to him, and he created this play and these characters, and he populated this area with these characters, these seven guitars, and wrote the story.
Jamal has acted in 9 of the 10 Century Cycle plays. In Seven Guitars, he plays Headley. Here, he is in rehearsal, where every small gesture means something, like pointing to the right house when a character says a name in the play.
And she rub it on her chest.
Well, we ain't living back in the time when your grandmother was living. You can get some medicine, good medicine. Dr. Goldblum, right across the street, only costs $2.
Hold, please, we gotta find out where his house was. He's one of these houses. We gotta find out where's we point to the right direction, okay?
Okay. passed.
You know where it was?
Yeah.
Which way?
The show will run through August with the hope that this is the beginning of many more shows here at the childhood home of August Wilson. For Monocle in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I'm Erica Barris.
Our second report today blurs the lines between performance, audio, and art, and is marketed as a treasure hunt. Since its creation in 2013, the Remote X audio art project has visited more than 30 locations around the world, and its latest stop is here in London. The piece is a novel twist on immersive storytelling. Groups of people take guided walks through their city, following the whims of a computerized voice that issues instructions in their headphones. Up to 50 participants can sign up for the tour, which invites them to reflect on themes such as the dynamics of group decision-making and individual autonomy in a hyper-organized social system. As you wander the city following the headphones, you encounter your own sort of personal film, and it even has a soundtrack. Monocle's Frederick Burness went to find out more.
One Saturday afternoon, at a little park in central London, about 3 dozen people are putting on headphones. They are specifically instructed not to speak to anyone else as they set off on a mystery tour led by a slightly spooky digital voice called Rachel.
I am not human, but I will try to be your friend. I'm programmed for you. I'm programmed so that you will always find your way. Let yourself be carried by the music.
The remote London experience is difficult to define. It's been called an interactive three-dimensional play, a live participatory art installation, or even a virtual treasure hunt.
0 degrees. Turn with the sound. Slowly.
The truth lies somewhere in between. As the mobile audience weaves its way through streets, stations, and open spaces, the voice tells us we are watching a theatre performance unfold in real time, with members of the public as actors. It invites us to think about the way we make decisions. Do we lead or do we follow? In a horde of people who don't know each other, but are receiving the same orders, how do we implement them individually?
Wow! Oh, yes. Attention. Get ready to jump out off the train. Yeah!
You are constantly surrounded by voices telling you, warning you, helping you, whatever.
That's Jürg Karrenbauer from Rimini Protocol, the German art collective which created Remote X.
In the future, you will definitely have a voice talking to you that tells you when you should drink something, when you are about to take care of your blood pressure and whatever, when you need a rest and things like that. And it's a little bit of this playing around with this idea that someone is always with you and takes care of you. And the major need to do this is to keep people predictable.
The artists were interested in recreating a common virtual situation, the act of playing online computer games in a simulated universe with strangers, and exploring how that translates into the real world. They were also musing on the power of big data. With social media sites constantly collecting our personal information and smartphones tracking us with GPS, sometimes it can feel like technology we have created may be starting to program humans themselves in a similar way. Tackling those questions is what inspired theatre producer Henriette Morrison to bring the Remote X experience here.
The voice is the voice of artificial intelligence, and what it enables you to do is to kind of reflect on that and to, on the one hand, appreciate it, and on the other, kind of go, okay, we are really quite manipulated by all this. I mean, you know, we benefit a lot from it as well. For example, right now I have a 3-month-old and I have a mobile phone, and I've been able to kind of engineer making all these projects happen just by that device. And I'm very controlled by it as well, but there are a lot of advantages, creative ones as much as anything else.
During the tour, it was amusing to observe the puzzled faces of bystanders who noticed a large group of headphone-wearing people acting out particular movements or even dancing without music. Jörg Karrenbauer says that reactions of the general public vary immensely from city to city.
We did it in Brazil, and if it comes to these kind of flash mob elements that are part of the tour, all the people around it just follow this kind of silent disco moment. They just participated because they like to participate and they like to look at people and they like to join. Whereas if you do it, I don't know, in Helsinki, no one is hardly watching it or looking at you because no one wants to be involved in something that he doesn't understand and so on.
Go! Faster.
The manic pace of London life created an array of challenges for the local production team, which spent 2 weeks planning a route and tweaking the audio tracks. Here's the sound designer, Katya Reshetnikova.
The most challenging thing about producing the project is actually timing, really, because every city is very different and London is very unpredictable and people are really fast walking here. So all the time we need to edit it and then go into the city, try it on and to adjust the timing. And you never know when the train comes or it doesn't come. So when people walk faster or slower, when we should tell them to turn right or left or to stop. So everything is about timing. Timing is like the most important point.
Remote London is produced by the Theatre of Europe, which will stage the piece more than a dozen times from now until October.
I will call you the Horde.
If you decide to surrender control for a couple of hours and take the mystery tour, be prepared for some offbeat robotic humour. And remember, even if you feel like talking back, the chances are that nobody is listening.
Goodbye. Safe journey. Go to hell. You are not one of us.
For Monocle, in London, I'm Frederick Burness.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to our roving reporters, Erica Barris and Frederick Burness. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our book review with Unbound Publishers John Michenson. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye.